study through the Ten Commandments. I do not know about you, but I know for myself that these messages, the first three that we have been through, have been a real challenge to me. And I have never studied the Ten Commandments as deeply as I have over these past several weeks. And it's just been, like I say, a challenge. It's been encouraging and remind me of just how holy and awesome our God is. You do understand today that these Ten Commandments, they reveal characteristics about our God. They're not just rules for the sake of rules. They're not there just to keep us from having fun. They're actually there so that we can enjoy life the way that God intends for us to. I'm reminded of the story that it was Paul Washer told of somebody who said to him one time, "Brother Paul, the laws, they're just so oppressive. I mean, they are so hard. They are so oppressive." And he said, "Well, young man, let me ask you a question. Which one of the commandments is oppressing you? Is it the one that thou shalt not commit adultery? I mean, are you finding that oppressive? Is that oppressing you, that you shall not commit adultery or that you shall not bear false witness? Is that really, I mean, do you want to lie so much, bear false witness, that that's just really, you know?" And that's the truth. If you look at these as trying to hold you down and be oppressive and to keep you from enjoying life, you're looking at them wrong. Each one of these, as we have seen, and we will see again today, each one of these things tells us something about the character of our Heavenly Father. They tell us something about Jesus. They reveal a lot to us about Jesus. So we can't just look at them and just dismiss them as, yeah, this will make my life better if I don't murder, if I don't steal. And those things are true. Your life will be better if you don't do those things. But it's so much more than that, folks. So much more than that. So anyway, that's the sermon before the sermon. Exodus chapter number 20, the fourth commandment, beginning in verse number 8. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, and in it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. And he rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." I've given this message this morning a different kind of day. Father, I pray and ask your blessings on the reading of your word this morning. Help me to preach it truthfully. In Jesus' name, amen. It has been said that the first commandment teaches us that we are to worship God exclusively. The second commandment teaches us that we are to worship God correctly. The third commandment that teaches we are to worship God reverently. And this fourth command reminds us that we are to worship God regularly. Now, I will admit, we as Christians today do not observe the Sabbath in the same way that the Israelites worshiped the Sabbath. But the principle still applies. The principle of giving God what he requires and is worthy of, it's still the same. God requires some things. We are to give them to him. God is worthy of whatever we offer to him. even a day. The seventh day, most assuredly, was not like all the other days. It was to be a different kind of day. Why? Because God commanded it, and because God's people were different. They weren't like everybody else. They weren't like all the other nations. They were a different people. And so the seventh day had special meaning. 7 days in the week. Six of them, you work, you labor. But on the seventh day, God said, you don't do that. You rest. You are to be different. The Sabbath is to be a different kind of day. Interestingly enough, this is, of all the commandments, the longest one. It has the longest explanation. But even having said that, it is probably the most misunderstood. And so through this morning and this evening, I want to help maybe answer some questions about the Sabbath. Can't do it all in one message. But we'll get as far as we can this morning. So let me first of all start off by talking about what I'm just going to call the regulation of the Sabbath. The regulation of the Sabbath. Now, the Bible says here in verse number 11 that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Excuse me, verse number 10. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Now, the word Sabbath simply means to rest. It means to cease from your work. Okay? Now, this is something that is both commanded and regulated by the Lord. Okay? This was not something that the Israelites decided, you know what, we just need to take a day off. We need to take a time out, one day a week. No. God said, you are to not work on this day. It is a day of rest. It was called the day of rest. That's what it means. Now, interestingly enough, we read this here in Exodus chapter 20. But as I see it, the Israelites already knew about this particular commandment even before the giving of what we call the Ten Commandments or the Decalogue, the Ten Words, okay? Now, interestingly enough, the Sabbath was not mentioned other than in Genesis chapter 2 when God rested. You don't see the Sabbath mentioned anymore until the book of Exodus. We don't see Adam observing the Sabbath. We don't see Noah. We don't see Abraham. We don't see Isaac. We don't see Jacob. It's not mentioned during that time. But when we get over here to Exodus chapter number 16, we see it mentioned again. And in Exodus chapter 16, we read that the Israelites were instructed to gather bread each day. But on the sixth day, what were they to do? Gather twice as much. Because the next day in Exodus 16, 23 was a Sabbath to the Lord. So he says, you gather it on the sixth day. You gather enough for the Sabbath. Because if you come out to gather tomorrow, there ain't going to be any. It's not going to be there. Of course, predictably, you would know it because they were a bunch of Baptists. On the Sabbath day, what happened? Some of them got out and they went out to go collect as they had done in the other days, but there was none there. God said in response to this in Exodus chapter 16, verses 28 and 29, How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place, and let no man go out of his place on the Sabbath day. I'm simply saying this to you to just let you know that I don't believe whenever they read this in the Ten Commandments, that it was a major shock to them. I don't believe that any of these commandments were just major shocks to them. What, we're only supposed to worship God? Man, I never knew. What, only, are we supposed to Sabbath? No, I believe that they did understand. This was not something that was just the law. I believe that this transcended the law of Moses. It went before the law of Moses. This idea of one day in seven, giving God one entire day in seven, I believe that it goes beyond the law. It's more than that. They understood this before it ever happened, before it was ever given in the Decalogue. It was a holy day when God was regulating and he was telling them why they should do it. He said, because it's a holy day. And they were to keep it holy. How were they to do that? Verse 10, in it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. You are to keep this day holy, God said. Now, what does holy mean? The word holy means to be set apart. It means to be separate. It means to be exclusive. In fact, one that I was reading this week said that it even has within it the idea of being exalted. It is a day above every other day. It's just not like the other 6 days of the week. It was to be a holy day. And they were to obey God's commands in regard to this day. Even going back to Genesis chapter 2, in verse number 3. It says that then that God blessed the seventh day and he sanctified that day, which means he set it apart. It was different, just as we read here in our passage. In Leviticus chapter 31, verse 15, he tells them that the Sabbath day or the seventh day is a day that is holy to the Lord. It was so holy, in fact, that those who profaned that day, in other words, those who worked on that day, those who disobeyed God's regulation, they were put to death. That's just how special it was. And it was to be the entire day. It wasn't just to be a few hours in the morning. It was to be the entire day. And folks, listen, don't look at the Sabbath day as a day of punishment. No. Y'all stay in your house. Stay in your room. Don't you go out. Don't you do that. Don't you know how we do it? We put them in a timeout. This was not a timeout. This was not a day of punishment. This was a day of refreshment for God's people. It was a holy day. And they were to reverence this day. Why? The second point, the reasons for the Sabbath. The reasons for the Sabbath. Let me just give you several. Each one of them could be a sermon in themselves, but I promise I'm not going to preach a sermon out of each one of them. I'm going to mention them, and then I'm going to move on. First of all, I'm going to give you a memorial reason for the Sabbath. The Bible tells us here in verse number 11 For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, some people may read that and they say, well, no, wait a minute. God rested? Did God need rest? Was he exhausted? Was he worn out? No. The Bible tells us that God does not grow weary, Isaiah 41:28. The Bible tells us, Psalm 121, verse 3, that God neither sleeps nor slumbers. God did not need to re-energize himself. That's not the point here. The rest that God engaged in here was the rest of completion. It was the rest of accomplishment. Why did God stop creating? Because he was done. He finished. There was nothing else to create. He had created everything that he desired to create. He was not exhausted. He didn't say, man, I need to lay down and take a nap. In fact, the Bible says that everything that God originally created was what? Very good. Not just good, but very good. And so he rested. The rest of completion, the rest of accomplishment. In fact, it was not until after the fall that God began to work again. When he began his work of redemption on our part, because we had sinned and we had messed up what God had created so beautifully. Hey, listen, I'll go so far as to say, I believe that when Adam rested, because Adam worked. He tilled the ground. I believe that whenever Adam took a break, it wasn't because he was exhausted. He just took a break because he was through. It wasn't a rest because he needed, because he hadn't fallen yet. But when he fell, it changed everything. So whenever God gave the reason for the Sabbath, he reminded them of what he had done on the seventh day. And so the Israelites could go back and they could look at God's creation. God's creation, his perfect creation. They remembered what God had done. But there's also a covenantal reason for the Sabbath. Over in Exodus chapter 31, verses 13 through 17, the Lord tells the people that the Sabbath is a sign between the children, me, and the children of Israel forever. He tells them that the Sabbath is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. It was a sign between Israel and God. Not the other nations, Israel and God. And you probably already know this. All the other commandments are repeated in the New Testament in some shape, form, or fashion. All except this particular command to keep the Sabbath. I believe that is because this particular commandment was given to a specific people in a specific place. He said, this is a sign between me and Israel. But there was a physical reason for the Sabbath as well. As I mentioned just a few minutes ago, Adam fell. He blew it. He messed up. And the Bible says, because of the fall, man now works, Genesis 3:19, by the sweat of his brow. Whereas before, I believe that work was a joy, it was a pleasure, there were no thorns and thistles and weeds. But after the fall, work became rather laborious. And when you go back a little Further, in the book of Exodus, you'll find when the people were in Egypt, they were worked mercilessly. You know, the Pharaoh got mad because Moses came and said, let my people go. My God says, let my people go. And he made him so mad. He said, you know what? I want the Israelites, I want them to make bricks for me. He said, from now on, don't supply the straw. Make them go get their own straw. And by the way, don't take one brick away from your quota. He made their work more laborious. He made it more tiresome. See, in Egypt, when they were in bondage, they didn't have rest. But God said, I'm going to give you rest. And he gave them physical rest because they needed it. They needed that day because they, unlike God, they got wore out. It was to their benefit physically that they took that day off. But then there was also a testimonial reason for the Sabbath. It was a witness to their neighbors that probably considered every day alike. By taking a day off, they were saying to their neighbors, we trust God. No other nation would give an entire day to the Lord. No other nation would do what the Israelites were doing. They would look at the nation of Israel and say, look, man, those people don't even leave their house. They don't do anything on this particular day. How peculiar. Well, they were called to be a peculiar people, weren't they? And so it was a testimonial to everyone else around. Why do you take one day and you don't work? Why do you take this one day and you give it to the Lord? Why do you do that? It's a testimony to everyone else. I trust God. He's my Lord. And he gives me 6 days to go and do. And he asked me for one day. I don't think that's being unreasonable. Well, maybe some of you do. I don't know. But it's not. There was also a devotional reason for the Sabbath. Listen, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought you out. He brought you out from there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day reminded them of God's rest after his glorious work of creation. That is true. That is true. But the Sabbath was also for the people to remember how God had delivered them from Egypt. It was a day for them to reflect and be thankful for being set free from bondage. As I've already said, in captivity, they had no rest. The Egyptians would not let them rest, but God had given them rest from their captivity. So the Sabbath was to remember both creation. Listen, it was to remember this one day was to remember both creation. Are you ready, Christian? And redemption. And redemption. He said, you are to remember on that day you were a slave, but God brought you out of the land of bondage. You're not to forget that. You're not to forget where you came from. And that leads me to my third and final point. Leads right into it. What I'm going to call the rest in the Sabbath. The rest in the Sabbath. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, over to Matthew chapter 11. I know that you probably have some more questions and things about Saturday and Sunday, and I will try to answer those tonight. But here's what I want to end off with this morning. Now understand this. Understand this. God has always desired His people to have rest. He's desired them to have peace and satisfaction of their needs. God didn't create the chaos that we're in. Man created the chaos that we're in. Wasn't God's original design. It was through man's fall, his disobedience, that we are where we are. But understand, God's desire has always been for us to be at rest, to have peace. But we know that's not the way that it always is. We also need to understand, and I've alluded to this a little bit up to this point, that the rest of the Sabbath day, the rest that they were to enter into was a picture. It was a symbol of something far greater than just a day. As holy as that day was, it was a picture. Throughout the Old Testament, God's people had various laws to obey, various observances that they were to keep. However, in every observance, in every law that they kept, if they did right, guess what? Keeping that law would not bring them peace. Keeping that law would not bring them rest. Not the rest that God truly desires for us to have. In fact, the New Testament even tells us that they went through all the rituals of the Old Testament sacrificial system, and they would make the sacrifices, but all that would do is just remind them, we're going to have to do this again because their consciences were never cleansed. There was no rest. None at all. The people in the Old Testament, they could get a covering through the sacrifices that were offered, but they could never get a cleansing because only Jesus can bring that cleansing. And again, keep in mind that the Sabbath was a sign between God and Israel and not other nations, not the pagan nations. It was a sign between God and Israel. His people. The Sabbath rest that we find in Christ Jesus, the Sabbath rest that a person enters into when they are saved, that rest is for God's people, and it's not for everyone else. I can't stand up here today and tell, hey, you lost, you don't want to follow Jesus? Don't worry about it. He'll give you peace. He'll give you rest anyway. I can't say that because it's not for you. It is only for those who trust and obey. As the one who fulfilled the law, Jesus offers rest from the burdens of trying to keep the law, working to please God. I had you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. Look at these familiar verses. I'll read this, say a few words, and then I'm done. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and he'll what? Give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, do you notice what Jesus says there? Keep looking at it. Verse 28, come to me. Go where? To Jesus. Go to Jesus. The object of our faith is not a creed. It is not a church. nor is it a clergyman, but the living Christ. Salvation is a person. To come to Jesus and trust Him alone for salvation and rest. Now, I believe every word of this invitation Jesus gives is important. But these are the words that really stand out to me. Why? Because many people don't come to Jesus for rest. They come to church. They go and do things for Him. They want things from Him, but they will not come to Him. And my dear brother, my dear sister, I'm here to tell you, until you are willing to come to the person of Jesus Christ, you will not experience rest. He says, all you who labor and are heavy laden, there in verse 28. There were those who labored hard under the law to try to make themselves right with God. Paul labored, didn't he? Paul labored hard trying to obtain the righteousness which is in the law, only to find out there is no righteousness in the law. I can work until my fingers bleed, but there is no righteousness. There is no rest in the law. He labored. He was heavy laden. But he did not find rest until what? He found Jesus. There are people today that are under heavy bondage. It may be to a law or some other type of restriction that they or someone else has placed upon themselves. Either way, there's just no joy to life. Life is nothing but a burden. Can I ask you just a question this morning? I've been pastoring long enough to know in every crowd this size, there's some people that are really, really, really hurting. Can I ask you a question? Is life a burden to you? I mean, you bear it. But life's nothing but a burden. You can't seem, boy, that burden. Something's always dragging you down. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. It doesn't have to be a burden, friend. Jesus says, come to me. If you're laboring and you're heavy laden, verse 28, I will give you rest. You notice what he said? This is very important. He says, I will give you rest. It's not earned. It's a gift. It's a gift. He gives you rest. Do y'all understand that? It's a gift. Do you really understand that? I mean, just come to Jesus. You can't earn it. People of that day, they thought they had to earn it. They thought they had to work for it. Jesus said, you have to come to me. Rest from trying to be good. Rest from trying to please God. Rest from trying to live out your purpose of life that you were never intended to live out to start with. Just rest in Jesus. Take my yoke, verse 29. We exchange one yoke for another. See, whether you realize it or not, you are under a yoke. You are under a burden. Jesus says, take the burden, the yoke of the law. Take that off. Put my yoke upon you. Be yoked up with me. Be yoked fellows with me. And guess what? You won't have to struggle anymore. To take here means to enter into a deeper experience with Christ. It is both to enter into a life of submission and discipleship. It is to have peace with God and the peace of God. Learn from me, verse 29. In other words, he teaches us. We are under his tutelage. We are under the direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit. He says here, because I am gentle and lowly in heart. Gentle as opposed to the harsh taskmaster of the law. The law always says, do this, do that, do this, do that, do better. You can do better than that. What, you call that work? You call that good? That's what the law says. I'm going to tell you what. That's what some church people have said down through the years. You've got to be like this. You've got to be like that. You've got to wear this. You've got to wear this. Wear that. You've got to do your hair this way. You've got to do your hair that way. You've got to be in church X amount. You've got to do all of these kind of things. That's what the law says. That has put so many people under burdens that it's not even funny. And those are the people who have never learned the true meaning of rest. Jesus is not like that. And then there again in verse 29, and you will find rest for your souls. Not rest for your bodies, but rest for your soul. Folks, let me tell you something. I can stand up here tonight, and I can look at you eyeball to eyeball and tell you, I got no hope for your body. I got no hope for mine. It's getting worse all the time. He's like, is that supposed to be? Is he supposed to be picking me up and helping me out? Yeah. Because this ain't the body you're going to have for all eternity. You're going to get another one. Ain't going to be no heart attacks. Ain't gonna be no diabetes. Ain't gonna be no stinking cancer. But the good news is, while your body's wearing out, you can have rest for your soul. I tell you, I posted something the other day on Facebook. Some of you saw it because I saw you click on it, but something by Johnny Erickson Tata. What a perspective that woman has. There is a classic example to me, a wonderful, beautiful example of somebody whose body is withering away, but who is as strong spiritually as anybody you will ever meet. Don't tell me it's not possible. So let me just close out by asking you these questions. Are you resting in Christ today? And I ask you that question because of this. I believe that there are a lot of people today that if you were asking, they'd say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe he's Lord. I believe he's Savior. I believe in the virgin birth. I've made that profession. I've confessed Jesus as my Lord. There are a lot of people that can say all of those things, but they've never learned to rest in Jesus. You've never rested in him. You can give mental assent to all of those things that I just mentioned, but you've never learned to rest. God desires for us to have rest. And yes, God desires for us to have Sabbath rest. But who is our Sabbath? Jesus. Jesus. That's what he's saying. Now again, there's other questions that you have. I'll try to answer some of those tonight. But right now, in this room, I want to ask you, are you truly resting in Jesus? I am not for the 100,000th time. Please listen to what I'm saying. Listen. I'm not asking you, did you say a prayer one time? I'm not asking you, did you walk an aisle? I'm not asking you about the card. I'm asking you, are you resting in Jesus? Are you resting in him and him alone? Because that's all that matters. Are you resting in Christ? You're not trusting in anything else. You've jumped through the hoops. You've done what the preacher told you to do. You've done all those things, but yet your life is as busy, it's as chaotic as ever. And you know what? You're caught up right in the middle, in the thick of all those things, just like you always were. But there's no rest for your soul. And that only comes through Jesus. The Sabbath was given because it was a different kind of day. It was a different kind of rest. And the rest that Jesus gives is a different kind of rest. Let's bow our heads.